Spirit will work through him, and that the soil that his words go into would be soil that would be ready for seed to grow, and Lord, to honor your kingdom with fruit. Would you bless him this morning? Lord, I pray this morning for those who are serving you in other areas. We ask, Lord, that you would continue to bless them. And we pray, Lord, that you would be with those that are struggling with not sure what direction to go as far as going back to their countries where they're serving. Lord, we pray that you would clarify things for them at your time. We thank you so much for your goodness. We love you and we bless you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Hey, well, good morning. It's a privilege to be here, and it's good to be back. I didn't come from that far, Lynn, actually. Shipshawana is pretty far, but it's not that bad. We claim Calvary Chapel. This is home for us. I think that most of you know Jenny and me. Sometimes I'm afraid that we know what Calvary Chapel was 7 years ago, and we've been gone for a while. So if y'all are more recent arrivals than that, I'll try not to act too familiar. But for the rest of you, it's just good to see you again. We have been a part of Calvary Chapel for quite a while. I was thinking about it this morning, that it's been about 25 years that I've been a member here. So we claim this as home. This is mine, right? Anyway, this morning I'm going to be talking a bit about GTO, if I can. Is it on? Oh, yeah. Oh, this one doesn't move quite the same speed as that one. No. All right. Sorry. I feel embarrassed. Every time I come up here, I get a little bit confused. But, you know, I'm here as a GTO field director, and I'll be sharing a bit of an update on Global Tribes Outreach. I'm also wanting to share a bit of a challenge, if I can, in these troubled times that we live in. So bear with me. It'll try to cover back and forth a little bit here. You know, GTO is a mission organization, and our vision is to see the name of the Lord magnified among the nations. We are here to empower Anabaptist missionaries and indigenous people to follow God's call to ministry in Asia, and to challenge people to answer God's call to ministry across the world. Calvary Chapel, you've been a part of this for a long time. You remember these people, right? You sent Luke and Amy to Asia in 97. And I found this picture the other day, and I thought I'll share it again. But this was the annual retreat in 2000. This was GTO's staff about 20 years ago. There's faces that I recognize, but this was our organization's entire field staff then. Here is this year. We've grown a little bit, and we're grateful. You've blessed Harold Carpenter to be part of our board. The board has grown a little bit. Let's see, we've added Jeff Burt from Indiana here is now also part of our board of directors. But these are the men that work with us on the field to help us make decisions and provide policy to keep us in line. You've also blessed us with member care. That picture is from a couple years ago, but that's Bill and Mary Jane, and then my parents. These people provide pastoral care for hurting missionaries. for missionaries in good shape and for missionaries that are in bad shape. GTO started with a goal of reaching into China. I think that many of you remember, some of you may not, the goal was to see Bibles carried into China, to see house churches blessed and the kingdom advance in China. Luke and Amy moved to Thailand because it was a good place to send people in and out of China. John and Carissa worked with the Western Lolopo people in Yunnan province. This is the team that is currently focused on the WL, or that area. That would be Darren Summers and Arlen Weaver and Jesse Copenhaver and Justin Hirschberger. I'm sorry. Justin's another spot. Another man. This is Brother Jeremy. Thanks, Harold. We had a team in the Tibetan region of Sichuan province. I shared some of these pictures before. This is the Kham Tibetans. Here's a guest house that was put together by Nate Stoltzfus and his family, his wife Carla and their children. That's not his daughter. That's Marcia Copenhaver. They're beside them. This is the team, Neil and Darla. There's been a baby added to Neil and Darla's family since that picture was taken. But Nate, one of the most humble men that I know. I remember talking about just how difficult it must be to be out there 14 hours from the end of the road in the middle of nowhere. And Nate would say, "I'm not doing anything special. I'm being obedient. This is where God called me to be." You would do the same thing. They've put together a guest house in order to allow them to be in a difficult place to reach in China. Nate's mother was diagnosed with a degenerative brain disease, and they came back to Colorado last November to spend time with his parents. The rest of the team stepped out of China in March. They've not been able to go back since then. So this entire group is currently in the U.S. In northern Thailand, we had a bunch of people working. This is a group of some of these are like 6 month interns, and some I won't go through all their names. But here's a couple that you do know, right? You claim them, yes? Yeah. We claim all of them, but we especially claim Skylar and Alyssa. Are you, as a church, tracking their story? I don't know how much of this gets communicated or not. Skylar is really interested in helping a particular young Christian man out raising coffee and roasting coffee. You look at me a little bit blank. Has this not been discussed here a whole lot? Okay, well, let me tell you about it. Skylar is there in northern Thailand, and the coffee industry is alive and well. There's a coffee shop on every corner. But the effort of helping the local farmer see the value from his coffee, that's missing quite a bit. It's a commodity, and the hill tribes farmers are sometimes treated pretty poorly in the process. So Skylar is hoping to work with this man, a young Christian man, raising coffee up in the jungles. The coffee is shade grown under the canopy above. Not exactly right here. It's another spot. There's about 8,000 trees that have been planted and are starting to bear, and there's a few thousand more that are a few years from producing. But Skylar is hoping to do some roasting and selling of specialty coffee there in Thailand. It's an exciting business opportunity. It's a privilege to be a part of seeing God's kingdom grow, and it's helpful to put hands and feet on good business practices and ethical treatment of people. So I'm guessing that somebody will have a presentation on the coffee roasting at some time, but that is, we're proud as can be of Skylar and Alyssa. Thank you for the way that you support and keep them there. This is a picture of the Qingdao Compassion Home. Danny, is it skewed a little bit of a widescreen? Can't. We'll just work with it. It's actually not Qingdao, Thailand. Compassion Home. There's a C on the front of both of the. Couture is like, yeah, I get it. Okay. Anyway, Doug and Missy are on staff there. There's a picture of William. This is the man who founded the home. Doug and Missy are currently in Pennsylvania. They stepped out this summer because the children were all sent back to their villages when COVID crisis started. And currently, Doug and Missy are not able to be back in Thailand. They're still in Pennsylvania. This is their adopted son, Jaden. We're thrilled with them to have another young man part of their family. In southern Thailand, it's not Othern Thailand, but southern Thailand. The culture is so different. This is a Muslim culture. This is Michael Stoltz. He and his wife Leah and their children lived and worked in southern Thailand for a number of years. Could you advance it one, Dan? Okay, there we go. Oh, not. This family lived and worked there for quite a while, praying for a team to come and join them. And the team has come. This is exciting for us as an organization. This is Abram and Leah here. They're French Canadian, so don't hold it against them. But that's their background. And Martha and a few other. Let's see. This is Michael's nanny, Kels, that had been there with them, a few other singles, helping with an English center. The team was growing, and an English center was started. Michael's teaching in a local high school. It's an exciting spot to see God's kingdom coming in Narathiwat. Visas have been a problem. Michael's returned. They were scheduled to be in Pennsylvania with his family a bit in the month of April, and they have not been able to return to Thailand. The Nielsen family had to leave Thailand. Their paperwork expired, and with the COVID situation, they were not able to extend it. Narathiwat does not have any GTO staff in it right now. I showed you some pictures, I think, earlier this year of the project in Hat Yai. This is Sela Cafe. They're working at sharing the kingdom through relationship and English classes. This is the team working in Hat Yai, Thailand. And Joel and Esther and their baby Judah are still there. Krit and Marty are there with them. And Renita Ballman from Chiang Mai has moved down to Hat Yai. But Jeff and Becky Sensenig and Maria Mullet and Emily are no longer there. Jeffs are back in the States waiting to return to Thailand. Maria is working in South Carolina. The team is a bit smaller right now because of the travel restrictions that exist. Jenny and I joined the group in Malaysia. About 3 years ago, we moved south. It is it's a Muslim country. One of the more progressive Muslim nations, an easy country to enter, or had been. And it worked well for running our short-term programs. James, Landon, Jenny, a few others have come through Edge and Ultra and our charge. Am I missing anybody? I probably am. But this is the crew that we worked with in Malaysia. These are our team leaders, the directors. I think it was interesting. The evening when Jenny was sharing, someone asked, how do you make the connections with the places where you go? And Jenny said, that gets done for us. The team leaders make those connections. And this is the crew that works at planning the trips and building relationships with contacts. These people are not in Malaysia right now. Chad and Jenny are here. The rest of them have returned. I think you guys know the stories of COVID-19. You hear it, experience it here. Malaysia has experienced COVID-19 somewhat differently. We are a part of a country that is a more cautious country. The people tend to be more careful and maybe a bit fearful. It would be common for our neighbors to not let their children crawl in the dirt because there's diseases there. We wore masks long before there was COVID because there's pollution out there and you shouldn't breathe that into your lungs. So when COVID-19 came, the mandate there was to wear a mask, and I would say it had about 100% compliance. People simply wore masks. The borders were closed almost instantly, not to exit, but for entry. We had a notification this past week, that tourism will not reopen in Malaysia through December 31st of 2020. The movement control order was extended. So running Edge and Ultra and Charge this fall is not an option. Jenny and I have been waiting on our work visas to come through. And so we were outside of that issue. If our work visas would come, if the paperwork would be processed, then we would be welcome back as essential workers. This week, Thursday, the Ministry of Defense in Malaysia has declared that 23 nations in this world that are experiencing 150,000 cases of COVID, though anyone bearing a passport from those countries is not welcome in Malaysia. So that includes Brazil and Germany and France and the United States. At this point, Calvary Chapel, I'm afraid that you're stuck with Chad and Jenny for a little while. There's been some grieving going on at our house this week. Because actually, as much as we love you and as good as the food is here, that's home. And our stuff and our friends and our relationships are in Malaysia that are current. And so we invite your prayers. We're gonna be here for a little bit. Actually, right now I was listing off some pictures and projects and names, but GTO's field staff is a little less than 20% on the field. A little over 80% is somewhere in the Western Hemisphere. It's a tough time. It's a tough time to be involved in foreign missions, but it doesn't change the vision that took us went. We're still there to see the name of the Lord magnified among the nations. It might be this nation. It might be whatever nation that we find ourselves. But the vision hasn't changed. Anxiety and fear are relentless. These are two of the enemy's most popular weapons that he uses against us. Unchecked anxiety or fear can show up as fiery anger, show up in unkind speech. It can keep you in bed for hours past what's healthy or wise. It can show up in hurtful attitudes. The longer you struggle with fear, the more likely it is that you'll be overwhelmed by it, allowing it to control your every decision. Choosing not to deal with anxiety can leave you with scars. The Bible is full of instructions for a time like this. So do not fear. Isaiah 41:10. For I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. You know, GTO is a bit too young of an organization to have experienced this before. I talked to my friends who are part of OMF or other older mission organizations. China has thrown out Westerners before. Malaysia has closed its doors in the 80s. Thailand has been difficult to be in before. This is not new in the history of the world, but it's new for us as GTO to have so many of our people unwelcome in the countries that they wish to be in. I told somebody, I'm serving as the leader of a bunch of missionaries in exile right now. It's not ideal, but we're invited not to fear. You know, the Lord invites us to not be anxious, to not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and thanks and petition with thanksgiving, to present your request to God. And that the peace of God that transcends understanding, that will be what guards your hearts. It's really nice to understand what's going on. I mean, Steve, you're in charge of a lot of men. You have to understand at least a few things about production to make that factory work right. Yeah? It's nice to understand everything. Sometimes we don't get to understand the why. And I guess if I can leave us with something, it's please, please remember that God invites us to take our cares and our fears and our worries to Him and to accept His consolation. When anxiety was great within me, your consolation brought joy to my soul. It was 2 weeks ago. Dana, you preached a sermon on poor in spirit, right? And one of the quotes was, it's a bit loose, but blessedness comes from realizing our neediness. Happy because we are not subject to fate or death. We are needy, and we must recognize that we don't have it all together. We have a desire to be right. We have a desire to, I mean, everything. Everything from how many hours does it take to drive to Detroit to what year was Woodrow Wilson the president. Like, we want to be right. It was 1913 for any of you people that are Googling it. Right? But We want to be right. And to lay that down. To lay that down in order to follow the greater vision. To recognize our neediness in the face of absolute sufficiency. You know, it's fine to talk about this just in the theory. But I noticed that true joy and true peace is infectious. We are called not to just experience the goodness of God, but to share the goodness of God. That if you have an answer, not an answer about I'm right, but an answer about God is right, we are called to share that, to glorify and magnify the name of the Lord. Like, what can I do? What can I do now? I'm actually stuck here. I realize that many of my friends in Malaysia are jealous of my problem. I had at least one or two of them say, Chad, what's the problem? You're forced to be in a country that many of us wish we could be in. I don't get it. Why are you upset? I say, well, I'm not upset. I just want to be where you are. Anyway, we can get grouchy. But we're here now. Who is my neighbor? How can I serve? Sometimes we don't have to go anywhere. Last year, there were over a million international students that came right here to the U.S. Almost 431,000 undergraduate students, that's people in their first 4 years of college, about that many graduate students, people doing masters or PhD. As there are a lot of people coming here to study. Actually, if you look at the demographics of the international students coming and break it down, it's a lot of the countries where we are sending missionaries are the same people groups that are coming here to study. So if you're not able to go to China right now, you may be able to go to Lansing. You may be able to work in Ann Arbor. There are international students here. And I realize that a significantly better strata of international students do study in Ann Arbor than want to study in Columbus, Ohio. So we do have the best of what's here. You may not agree with me. There are ways to share your faith online. There are chat groups and conversations. This is from a website called World Venture. You may want to snap a picture and then check it out, or ask me later for the web address. But they are offering ways for you and I to be involved in sharing our faith with those who are ready to hear it and listen. You know, if you want to hear crickets in a room full of educated, missionally minded, culture-shaping evangelicals, ask this question: what are you doing to serve the needs of poor white people? While urban justice-loving evangelicals easily shame white rural and suburban conservative evangelicals for their racially homogenized lives, both communities seem to share a disdain for lower class white people. Sometimes we make fun of each other. We say that the urban or the educated are doing the wrong thing, or they say that we're doing the wrong thing. But we both seem to look at lower class white people as rednecks, crackers, white trash. Did you know that even, I realize that disproportionately minorities do make up a larger, within the minority group, a larger amount of welfare recipients. But more than 19 million whites fall below the poverty line for a family of four. That's nearly twice as many blacks. Therefore, whites account for the largest percentage of the nation's poor. I don't want to pull the race card here. I realize that race is something that's really a touchy subject right now. All lives matter. I know. But I want to go ahead and chat about it a little bit this morning, in that sometimes I'm really guilty of being so focused on helping those less fortunate, those that are different than me in their color right here. I've got to help somebody else because they need my help. I've got answers that they don't have, and so I'm going to go serve the other people. There are people very similar to me that need Jesus, that need a helping hand, that need the touch of the Father, that need my time. And it's easy for us to look at people around us and say, well, they should know better. I mean, Southern Michigan, there's access to jobs. There's access to education. There's access to churches. There is more glory in going to the inner city than there is in working in a trailer park here. Right? I simply want to invite us to think about the people that are like us that are here. We spend some time talking about, you know, what is my calling? What can I do? I don't think we'll spend a lot of time in Nehemiah right now. This is a passage where Nehemiah asks God for strength for his hands. There's some distractions going on, and his request is, Lord, strengthen my hands. Sometimes we just stall by asking, you know, what is my calling? I want to get it right, right? But the longer I can research about what to do, the less I need to actually go do. I would beg us, do something. Do something. Whether it's for international students, whether it's for sharing our faith online, or for getting involved in the trailer park that's down the road from me. I don't want to stand here this morning acting like I've somehow got this one together. I just spent some time showing you pictures of Asia and family. I'm grieving the loss of not being where I want to be. But I feel compelled that if God has Jenny and Chad and our boys here now, that I don't get to escape the fact that my calling is to magnify the name of the Lord. I need to do something. I have to do something here. So I'm not here to shame any one of you or to yell at you. I'd like to yell at Chris Troyer right now, but that's okay. Morning, Chris. Hi. Don't you hate it? I am a high school teacher. I'm sorry, guys. I can't change it. Guys, I'm not here to shame you. I'm here to admit that I have a lot of room to grow in learning to just do something with where I'm put. So I beg for your prayers for us as an organization, for us as a church. I brought something along. It's kind of a leftover, but it is hopefully to remind you. We had these pens created for our annual retreat. The picture that I had up here, that big crowd, it says, "Trust the author." It was a theme. It was a theme this year at our annual retreat for our missionaries to trust God as he writes our story. But we had a bunch left over. So I asked the ushers if they would pass them out. I think everybody could have one, at least everybody age 10 and over, and then we'll leave the box at the back. But please, yeah, Menno, go ahead and hand those out if you would. And I do want you to take one. You may pass them on to somebody else if you don't want it, but I'd like you to have a blue pen, if you would. Yeah, thanks, guys. You'll have to scribble with it a little bit to make it right. They have some wax over the ball at the end. They'll come eventually, I'm sorry. Mary, they'll bring you a pen. Yeah. I should hear that noise. Okay. End of the story. We don't know what God has completely, but we know that it is good. And we know that we can trust the author in the process. GTO is in trouble in that it can't be, the people can't be where they want to be. GTO is not in trouble in that we still serve a really magnificent author. And we are here to see his name magnified. GTO is in trouble in that travel restrictions exist. GTO is not in trouble because we have Harold Carpenter on the board. GTO needs your prayers, and Chad and Jenny need your prayers pretty desperately. Would you please remember us? Are there plenty of pens? Are we running out of pens? How's it going, Minna? That's enough? Okay, I'd really like to not take any pens home with me. So we'll leave the box back there on the windowsill. Children, if you need pens, please take them. Adults, if you need them for your shop or for your gathering, your Bible study, just take a few pens. And remember to pray for us as you do that. This was a GTO presentation. So I'd like to open it I'd like to open it if there's any questions about GTO before I wrap it up. Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thank you that you are God and we are not. In you is joy and peace and consolation. Father, thank you for this church at Calvary Chapel. Thank you for the men and women who pursue you and desire to see your name glorified. I pray for your blessing on the ministry team here. Thank you for Dana, for Lynn, for Sam, for Harold. Lord, I pray that you would bless them in these unknown times. I pray that we would simply rest in who you are. And that we would use the peace that comes from that rest to share that joy with others. Thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I don't remember how this goes. Oh.